Well, hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour. There have been many profoundly great decisions that have been made throughout history, and the one you are currently making will be right up there with them. Thanks for joining us, and please enjoy the show. It's the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour, and it begins right now. Welcome to the Boiled Sports Podcast. I am Jay, joined by Boiler Dad. We both, I think it's fair to say, have our tie bars on straight. No, that's not fair. That up. It's too soon.
It's not too soon.
Because they've apologized and the punishments have been handed down.
Yeah.
And, there's so many things to talk about. You know, it's really the perfect time for a podcast because things could not be better.
Right, exactly.
With so much to talk about.
You were very excited when I said, let's have a handsome hour. You were really.
Oh, man. I was like, I thought the show had been canceled. I thought the networks had said, you know what? Much like a lot of the crappy television that's on this time of year.
Right.
And let me just have a non sequitur for a moment. You and I are like when we watch, you've said this before, when we watch commercials, you'll say, you know, you're like me. You pay too much attention to commercials. And you're like, that's just stupid. Yeah. Why are they doing that? Well, I think I would assume you're the same way when you see like a promo for a sitcom and you're like, how the hell did that get made?
All you got to do is look at how, like you said, there's so much bad stuff on. And then they clearly are just throwing stuff at the wall and saying, maybe this will catch.
But you know how many talented people, you and I know talented people in the world
creative,
who are creative. You know how many great scripts there probably are sitting on desks in Hollywood?
But they're a risk. They're a risk.
They don't
That's
know.
The thing.
Right, right. They're not a sure thing like Blair Underwood in a wheelchair.
Right.
That is gold.
But you know that's a remake. Do you know that?
I know. I saw you.
It's ridiculous.
That out.
Well,
and it ran for like seven seasons.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
That's astounding because this one's going to run for about 2 weeks, and and it's I was making fun of it on Twitter the other day because I was bored and I like to make fun of things.
How many flops has Blair Underwood had? He's been involved in a lot of
All of them
stuff.
Would be the answer to that. All of them. He was on L.A. Law, wasn't he? That was what
that was
he was
his,
good
that
at.
Was his, that's it. That's the list.
And he was a supporting role, really, there.
Oh, yeah.
He was never a main guy.
Yeah.
And you kids out there don't remember L.A. Law, but it was on – it was the NBC show, I believe, the Thursday show before ER, right?
I think you're right. I think that's right.
Okay. So I did want to talk quickly about the suspensions. There's a million things we could – in all seriousness, could talk about because things have gone – things have gone sideways,
awesome.
As the expression goes. And we're going to talk to Chris Emma shortly. And if, for those of you who don't know him, you should be paying attention.
Yes.
He does some good stuff. Nice guy. Now, did you get to meet him? He was talking about meeting you at
– No, we didn't get to meet. I had a couple of kids in tow that kind of were a drag, literally and figuratively, this week. And my daughter was in a napping mood during the game, which we all should have been, really. She fell asleep.
She had it right.
She got it right, exactly. She fell asleep with her head on my leg, and I was like, wow, she's the smartest one of all of us. We're all like suckers standing here and watching this. This is ridiculous. So I made it till the end of the third quarter, and I bugged out of there. So
Chris is coming up in a little while, just a few minutes. We're going to bring him on and talk to him a little bit about, whatever he's willing to talk about, because this guy's got to cover this. You know, he's required to cover this.
Right,
so
it's his job.
We'll see what he has to say. You know, and those guys who have that job, like him and Carmen and you know, the guys who have to do that. It's like,
hard
man,
right now.
They must long for them to be good in a different way than we do, because it just makes their lives better.
Yeah,
like more
yeah.
fun and more. And it's got to be drudgery to go and cover when things are in the toilet.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But the one quick thing I wanted to mention about the suspension, I thought it was interesting. You seem to be, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you don't seem like you're totally
you're sort of on board with the way it was handled, but you seem a little skeptical of the way that they handle it with BJ. And is that fair to say? You seem a
I think that's
little.
fair. I think that's fair. I
Because.
it's so early in Hazel's time at Purdue. I think now I'd prefer a coach handling it like Tiller did early, when there were disciplinary problems early in Tiller's era, he really cracked down hard on players. And then
Right.
as his time got on, he got more lax and more lax. And I think that's typically the path they go because it gets harder to stay on top of things. If you're there a long time, you get lazier or, whatever. It just seems like a lot of coaches go that way. I thought it would have been a good time to make a bit more of a statement. I mean, what do you have to lose? The team is playing just horrible football. And why not, right?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, a couple of things. I mean, one, the cynical why not answer is that he's one of the bright spots. BJ
I
has
know,
been.
and that's the problem. That's exactly
That's a
what I thought.
problem.
And I mentioned that in the post because I think
Yep.
if you're not hearing it from us, you're going to hear it from opposing fan bases if they cared. I thought that was a great comment. If Purdue was good, you would hear that from other fans, but since they're not, no one will care. But I
Right.
definitely think if Purdue was a team that was even close to the top 25, it'd be a story. I mean, I think that would be
You mean like what I predicted they would be at this point? You mean that the team that
Mercy.
just a mere 5 6 weeks ago I was trumpeting?
It's tough. It's tough. Tough season for
Well,
anybody.
the only thing I'll say about it is that, and you said this, so you alluded to this because this is why I think you're kind of two minds on this, is that you said you do believe in second chances, and I think
But what was the next line, though?
this wasn't, well, I don't know if it was the next line, but your other point, I think, was this wasn't a stupid mistake. This was like you decided to steal something.
Right, and that's I believe in second chances, and initially when this happened, I thought he should get his second chance at another school. That's what I
Wow.
thought, and I'm not kidding. I don't think you damn the kid to hell because he stole something. I think you make him feel that this was a really dumb thing to do, so he can go and do something with his life. Because if you let somebody slide on something like this, who knows what they're going to do next time? That's my and I know I sound like an 80-year-old man. I don't care. I think this is a good time to say goodbye.
But hasn't Hazel
You can
done that
finish
though?
your you can I'm not going to take your education. You can keep going to school here with your scholarship until the end of the semester. At the end of the semester, you're leaving Purdue. And you can go play football someplace else. I'm sure someone will have you right now. You're a great football player. You clearly show a lot of promise. I know I sound like a, guy biting his nose off despite his face, but I just think I don't have any time for this. I mean, I don't know what the heck he was thinking. I don't know if it was a joke, I don't get it, the joke. If it's not a joke and he thought it's a good way just to save a couple bucks by stealing, I don't have any time for that. I just don't. I don't appreciate it. I mean, as somebody who, has been a part of owning things, the first thing I think of is I know Kohl's is a massive corporation and I hate Kohl's. I made it pretty clear how much I dislike Kohl's.
I know.
But
I have a problem with that too, by the way, but go on.
I bet you do. Whatever. You shop on Fifth Avenue after your days at work.
That's
Go
true.
to
That's true.
Burberry
I
and
light my cigars with $100 bills and
exactly.
yeah,
You were reading my post. You're like, what is this Kohl's you're speaking of? I'm gonna have to look it up.
Bring me another
Susie,
bill.
Susie, look up this Kohl's department store.
I might buy it.
Exactly.
That's what I said. Well, I think that you, I don't want to say you're being like an 80-year-old man, but I do think, and I'm generally with you on like being an old man and being like have not having time for people who embarrass the university. But and it's not just because he's been a bright spot, it's because we've even interacted with the guy and we've even liked him in that, like we don't get a vibe that he's a punk, and maybe he is,
No, it doesn't seem like he's. I
but I
found a
think
picture of him with my son at a
very
basketball
young.
game last winter, by the way. I
Oh yeah.
yeah, so I was like,
He's
man, he's a nice guy to him. I mean, that's the thing. It's just he made a stupid decision, and I and
but
it's.
we made stupid decisions at that age
But
too.
that's my point. That's my point. Did you ever think about shoplifting? Honestly.
No. No.
Okay. I mean, that's.
But
I want someone who hears this. When this is aired, I want someone to tweet me or email me a situation that makes sense of this. I really do. I'm very open to listening. I have not thought of it yet. Okay?
no, I don't think there's a scenario that would make you be okay with it, but I think that 18, 19-year-old kids make stupid judgment
They do.
calls.
They do.
I don't think that that. I just think if this is the only thing like that that we see from him, then I think you can get one, because he didn't. It's not the kind of thing where he was drinking and driving, or carrying a gun, or slapping a girl around, or cheating on an exam. You know what I mean? Like, and I know there are different levels of crime. I know there shouldn't be different levels of, if you broke the law, you broke the law. Right. I get that, but I think we can all agree that if you stole something that was $20 from Kohl's, it's not a good judgment, and it doesn't show good character. But I think there are things that I would say I don't want him around. And
right. If you would have seriously, if you would have hit a cop, and I said that, if you had hit a cop, if you had hit his girlfriend, if you would have gotten in a fight where, you know, he just was so enraged that he, you know, almost killed a guy, which is very possible. These guys are, you know, if I got hit by one of these guys, I can't imagine. I played basketball against a couple of them when I was at Purdue, and I was like, oh man, if one of these guys lowers their shoulder into me, it's not going to be good.
Right.
And so, you know, like, what was the story? Hold on, I'm trying to think of it. Oh, it's the Penn State where the guys went party to party looking for a guy, and they just beat the hell out of people.
And then Paterno made them clean the stadium.
Right, that type of thing. I'm saying that is a direct victim crime where you're
right. So you're agreeing with my point.
Yes, there are much greater crimes. There's no doubt about that. I just maybe if he would have said something. Well, here's the deal. He's still a Purdue football player. He's not playing this season. And he's going to be in sweatpants the rest of the season on the side.
And you don't think two games has teeth?
I don't.
You don't think two games in a 12-game season?
I don't.
It's a chunk of the season.
I know. I just don't. I just don't like the precedent sets because it looks really bad. If you would, I mean, look what he did to Woods. He said, you know what? You're suspended indefinitely. And I know Woods had done something else. We don't know what it is because it was kept internal. But if he would have said, okay, Kanoff is suspended indefinitely. He's going to earn his way back in. There's another way you could say it. And even if he said, okay, in 3 weeks, he said he's really been doing what he's supposed to do. He came out, he had the public apology, same type of thing. But in 3 weeks, or 4 weeks, whatever, three games, maybe I'd say, okay, I can. It's been a while. So maybe that's a hard thing. I'm like a little kid. I can't imagine how long two games takes. I don't know. I don't think it was enough. That's all.
So the moral of the story is do not cross you.
Right.
Don't break a rule.
My kids.
Your son spilled some milk. He hasn't been let out of his room in 2 years. It's really awful around there.
No, but spilled milk. That's a good example. Spilled milk. Let's try to think of something that spilled milk. Seriously, spilled milk would be Kanoff was caught going 100 miles per hour on I-65.
I don't even know if I agree with that, but okay.
I'm trying to think of something that you're whoops, I really didn't know how fast I was going. 100, you'd get a pretty, you know, you may be putting, could you be put in jail for 100 miles per hour in a 70?
In a 65 or a 70, I doubt it. Okay. It's only 30, 35, unless they decided it was reckless driving.
I'm just trying to, you know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to think of something that's an equivalent, you know, and I haven't thought of it yet. Something that's an accident.
Well, and you're right, There's a difference between, that's something you chose to do.
Right. That's my point. I don't know anything about where Kanoff came from. I don't know his upbringing, but I got to tell you, this thing does not smell of something of someone who really needed this. You know what I mean? That's the other thing. I would even give you a get out of jail free card if it's something like he was caught stealing eggs. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm trying to get to a philosophical moral thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
This is frivolous and stupid. You know? So.
Right. So
it's too bad. It's really too bad that this is the story right now, and we're not talking about how Purdue has fought hard and played well thus far.
Oh,
it's really too bad.
I know it's overshadowed.
Absolutely,
what's been an exciting season.
Right.
Let me try to bring on Chris Emma. I have no idea if it'll work.
Okay,
Chris.
There we
go. Are you there?
Yeah. What's happening? Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Yes,
sounds like you're in my
yes.
kitchen. Like
I'm in an echoey office here.
All right, so I've got the I'll just
now I'm freaked out. I gotta go check my kitchen. I think he's
I don't think I'm in your kitchen. I get up
exactly. I'm not sure though. I can't guarantee.
he's like right outside the door, just tiptoeing up.
Doobie doobie doo.
Doobie doo. The calls are coming from inside the house. Anyway, so we're joined on the podcast today, on the Handsome Hour. I'm sure he's very excited to be here. Chris Emma and Chris, I don't know. There's so many different things I can put out there about you. You can find Chris at CEmmaFox on Twitter, Boiler Sports Report, Purdue.scout.com.
Everywhere.
Is that everything? Or are there more places I should list? Or is that pretty much they'll get the full?
Apparently, I'm in one of your kitchens as well.
That's right.
Yes, that's
right. You'll find Chris at Boiler Down's kitchen on Thursday night.
Isn't that an expression? We got all up in his
kitchen. Yeah, exactly. That's like what the kids say.
I think you've covered it all, though.
Okay. All right. So we were just talking before.
He got up in his kitchen. I like that. Let's make that like stick. That, huh? Let's make that go. That's really good.
You haven't heard that? Did I make that up?
I've never heard it. I like it. I like it.
Maybe that's a hockey expression. I'm a big hockey guy, so I can't remember where I heard that. But it's basically saying he's like in your kitchen. He's like in a right up there. Anyway, so because we were talking a little while ago about how I know you probably love what you do, but I got to think that when a team's bad like this or struggling this badly, it got to make your job a little less pleasant, right? It's got to make it a little harder to do.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw my column from the NIU game, but I actually took the Wisconsin one and inserted Northern Illinois into Wisconsin for everything and changed up the score a little bit. No, it's a little bit difficult when you're covering a team that's struggling the way that Purdue is, and I hate to say it, but will continue to struggle. It's makes writing things a little bit more difficult. You're kind of digging for storylines, and each Saturday I was I had a few buddies with me who cover Northern Illinois, and I was sitting with them for the game, so I'd not seen them in a while, and they're looking at me somewhere in the third quarter when things are getting ugly. They go, "What the heck do you write about this game?" And I kind of look back like, what am I supposed to write? I don't even know. And I went into that press conference. Usually I have a good idea of what I'm going to write by that press conference, and I sat down on my laptop not knowing what the heck I was going to do.
So what did you – did you start talking about the quarterback situation? I mean, what was the first thing that
It was a little bit of a mixed bag, I guess. See, with this team, and when any team's struggling the way that Purdue is, you can read the way that these players or coaches are feeling by how they're, you know, by what they're saying in the press conferences. And you could read it from Daryl Hazel. Once again, for the second week in a row, he was infuriated by the way that they played. And he's not going to be throwing a chair or screaming out profanities, but you could read everything you needed to see from him. He was not happy. The players were all hanging their heads. They were down. And I don't think they saw anything like this coming. So,
time out real quick. Real quick, Chris. Real quick. I got to tell you, I'm very happy to hear that. Because, I mean, because I haven't been in the room with him after a game. And I have been in the room with Danny Hope after a game, after a shellacking. And I can tell you, Hope was not like that. And I'm really glad to hear that, honestly, because I want him to be pissed, because that product that was on the field was horrible.
Yeah, you know, it's he's got this, you know, he's got the Hazel hat, of course, we all know well, and you can see the eye contact, you can see what he's looking at, how he's feeling, you can see so much by, you know, he's one of those guys, he's not gonna have crazy facial expressions, but you can read so much out of what he's looking, how he's feeling. He was looking down. He was kind of looking forward like, what the heck has happened? And you can read it in him. He was just disgusted and sad. So I kind of wrote about how the bye is needed. The first thing he said, of course, and his first opening statements, you can take a lot out of what he says out of that. And the first thing I think he said was, this bye, we need this bye week so badly. So you can see, he's ready to regroup. He's ready do personnel changes, which of course we found out about this week with Rob Henry and Danny Edling stepping in. So he was ready to kind of reestablish things and look ahead, but it's not like you got some cupcakes coming in. I mean, Nebraska's next, and then MSU, and then Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, you think you said something about how it's going to continue to be a tough season. I mean, I guess we're pretty much of that opinion as well. But there are people who kind of cling on to a little bit of hope by looking at. In fact, I saw someone interviewing him, and I don't think it was you who asked this question, although it could have been. I didn't recognize the voice, actually. Someone pointed out that his turnaround in his first year at Kent State came after a bye week, and they looked very similar to this bad, basically. They're 1-4 or 1-5 or something, and then they kind of started to turn it around for a year and a half. Do you think there's any reason people should cling to that even like a little bit, or do you just think there's no chance that the season turns
around? Yeah, there's no chance the season turns around, honestly. You got three hard games ahead of you. There's no way, you win one of these three games. I mean, take your pick. I mean, maybe you can give Nebraska a contest. That defense hasn't been too pretty. Maybe Edlin gets hot, but I don't trust that defense to stop him unless, You know, it looks like Martinez might be out for that. I mean, unless the backup is just horrible. But aside from that, I think Nebraska is going to win that. You go into Michigan State, and that's not a great team. But
no,
that's a tough place to play. It's a tough place to ever win. So that's going to be tough. And then Ohio State, I mean, come on. You know, you're
– Oh, Purdue owns Ohio State.
Of course.
State,
right? That's right. Now, here's
– It'll be easy.
Where you will see the turnaround, I feel. I think you're going to see a lot of progress in November. I think these three games – It won't feel like it at the time, but it's going to help this team kind of grow and get set. I mean, you're getting the ultimate trial by fire. You're going to be facing an Ohio State team at home. It's going to be Danny Etling against the Buckeyes defense. I mean, it's going to be a defense that's really trying to learn on the fly against Braxton Miller and Kenny Guyton and that crew. I think you're going to see how they learn and how they progress from that in the final month when you're facing teams. You should be like in Iowa and Indiana and Illinois. You're going to see a much improved team in those games as opposed to these next three games, but it's going to be a struggle here these next few.
But I think it's worth, and I'm curious if you would agree with this, there's got to be, I think, and this is maybe what your point is right there, is that Etling being in there at least feels like progress can be made, right? I mean, I think we saw, especially, and you probably haven't been watching Rob Henry as long as we have, but we kind of know what Rob Henry is as a quarterback, and I think that that's probably where Hazel landed too, was, okay, we know what we've got here. It's not going to suddenly get better. But Etling has the potential to really – to be good to start with, or, you know, talented to start with and get better, right? I mean, we have a chance to see some serious growth.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's kind of exciting. I wrote about it a couple days ago. You know, I mean, God bless Darryl Hazel. He put Rob Henry out there because he felt this team could win, could be competitive at least with him as the leader. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but he felt that Danny and Austin Appleby weren't ready. And I don't think he, you know, I'd be interested to hear what he'd say, honestly, if he felt that Rob was going to really do well or this team is going to be very competitive in these first so many games. But it clearly didn't go the way he thought it was going to be. And, you know, I think he expected a lot better than what this team is going to be doing to start out the season. But I think you're going to see now, he says, okay, we're going to be building for the future. I think Danny's our guy. I think Danny's the guy who can lead us, and he can be that quarterback for the next, you know, 3.5 years looking ahead. So we're really going to see that rebuilding process now. You're going to see some of the younger guys out there too. We saw the first touchdown pass. It was Danny Etling to Cameron Posey.
Yep.
You know, a couple freshmen. You want to see more of that looking ahead. You want to see that be a Absolutely. Connection. You're going to see the building blocks of what could be a bright future for this program. And, you know, the only way you find out is when you get those guys out there. This experience is going to be so valuable for these guys. And, you know, this season now, I hate to say it, but it comes about – it's going to be all about growing and learning and progressing instead of winning football games. It's going to be a tough ride, but it could be very bright for, looking ahead.
Well, I mean, the another point is that D'Angelo Yancey, I mean, really came on the scene. He really hadn't produced much at all. And then he had, I mean, I don't know how many of the – what do you have, 120 yards receiving, but how many of those were from Etling? I would say probably 100 of them
were from Etling. Yeah, I got to double-check the box score, but, I mean, yeah, D'Angelo had a heck of a game as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, can I ask you another question about regarding the beginning of the season with these guys? And maybe this is something just kind of looking at your expertise and how much you've been to practice. I have, you know, I went to a couple practices. And when I went, I saw the same thing in the spring that I saw in the fall. And that was that Rob Henry really had some issues with the way he threw the ball, and the ball did not fire out of his hands. You could see a clear difference even with, I say, Brzezinskis, Appleby, and Etling. All three of those guys threw the ball harder than Henry. I know velocity isn't everything. We've talked about Billy Dickin. He didn't throw the ball with a lot of velocity. But it looked just nothing. It looked like a disaster waiting to happen because of the way he threw the ball, and he could not make some of the throws, which we saw. He wouldn't even dare make some of the throws. You know, it was obvious he wouldn't make some of the out throws that Etling will. You know, so is this did the coaches really see something that I didn't see? I mean, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this because. I said to Jay here that part of the thing that happened the last couple of weeks, a lot of Purdue fans said, man, what is going on with this coaching staff's talent assessment? How could they not see that this is the state of things? I mean, I really don't fault Rob Henry. Rob Henry is who he is. Rob Henry's been who he is as a quarterback since he got to Purdue, you know? So I don't fault him, but I do fault the coaches for putting him in the position where he feels like he's got to beat himself up because he can't make throws.
Yeah, you know, part of it really, I mean, you're talking about an offense here, a pro-style offense that's really, frankly, is built around the running back and strong blocking. And
Akeem
Hunt has struggled, and the offensive line has struggled. You get down big, the defense has struggled, and suddenly you got Rob Henry. Let's face it, he's an okay game manager, but he's not a guy who's want throwing the ball so many times per game. You said it best. I mean, he struggled in practice. I saw the same thing you were. He doesn't have any zip in the ball. He was inaccurate. He didn't seem to have much confidence in the pocket. He was always scrambling, and then you saw more problems. It was just a disaster, really.
Yep.
And that, frankly, is quite a statement as to how unprepared Etling and Appleby really were.
Right,
This is such a complicated offense. John Schoof has so many little tricks and checks in this thing that these young guys got to deal with, and they just weren't ready to handle it. So they chose to run out a guy who I think if you ask them honestly, they'll say they didn't think he could be, you know, a superstar quarterback by any means. Right. They chose to run him out with, let's face it, I mean, he's got less talent than an Adling or an Appleby does. They chose that to have the experience and the confidence and the leadership over the inexperience but upside that an Adling or Appleby have. And obviously, it just didn't work out. Now you're 1-4, and you got to do something to build for the future, and you have no choice but to go to Danny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I appreciate your assessment, and I mean, this is something that Jay and I would talk about during the game, every game, pretty much this year, except for the Notre Dame game. We're just like, man, this guy does not look like he's ready to play, you know. And then you start doubting the whole thing. You touched on profundity as well. Akeem Hunt, who when I watched him in practice, so I was like, it's clear he's one of the most athletic people on this entire roster. He had another gear that nobody else had. He had a couple runs during practices where he would turn a corner and he would literally disappear in a pile and fly out on the other side at full stride. And I was like, man, this guy's great, you know. But the problem is he's not getting any space, you know. And he's not – I think everybody, doesn't matter if you're a member of the media or you're a longtime Purdue fan, wondered, can he run between the tackles because he's not a big guy, you know? So it's tough to run between the tackles when you are a big guy and you've got decent blockers. It's quite another thing when you're trying to run between the tackles and you're small and your offensive line isn't giving you any space. And that's really, you know, that's the issue. So everything falls down around that because, you know, defenses completely say, okay, well, they can't run the ball against us, so we're going to try to make them pass. Well, they can't pass the ball against us either.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things lost with this, I think they had too much confidence that Akeem could be a fit in this offense. He's not at all a fit in this offense because it's an offense that counts on him to run the ball, like you said, through the tackles, which he can do sometimes, but not all the time. He'll get a couple decent gains, and then for the most part, it's just bad. He's struggled so much. He's a spread running back. He's a guy you need out in the backfield that can be catching balls. And, you know, to be kind of a guy in that read option type system, that's not what you're dealing with here. And he struggled mightily with it. So I think they had too much confidence that he could be, you know, put up those similar numbers that he did in that backup role, doing that as a starter in this offense. And it's not been good at all.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction right now. And I don't know what, you know, I seriously don't know the answer to this question. I know you see a lot of things in practice that are the practice completely open right now? Or are they only partially open? How do they work it for you right now?
I believe that. I don't know if they're open to the public. That's a good question. They're open to the media. I know that.
Okay. Well, okay, here's my prediction. And Hazel kind of hinted at some changes in the system and changes in personnel and offense, but he said, I don't want to tip my hand, okay? So I'm sure Jay and I know this because we've heard it through the grapevine, but I'm positive Bo Pelini listens to the Handsome Hour, so I'm going to give him some information right now. Here's what I think is going to happen is I think we're going to see Hunt in Knopf's spot pretty regularly. And I guess he calls that the Z. Is that right? Does he call that the Z?
Yeah. It's the Z role.
Cause I think that is Akeem Hunt is made for that Z role. I think it's kind of what you were saying, you know, he's really just like the guy who played the Z at Kent State for Hazel. And, I think we'll see very big things out of him the next couple of weeks as Knopf is under suspension. And I think maybe we'll see, you know, the emergence of a third running back after Dawkins and Cottom. So that's just my prediction. I have no reason to believe it other than just it makes sense. So hope it happens.
I wish I had some state secrets to give you guys. I've been on the shelf this week after getting my wisdom tooth pulled. So I've missed a practice. I've not been able to kind of see what kind of personnel tricks they've been doing, aside from the obvious that Rob moved to safety and they're trying something new. But
are you on Vicodin right now? Are you hopped up?
I've done a couple radio spots this weekend and been asked that. I'm this is what day three now, so I'm all good. I'm off the painkillers and everything. I did a radio spot on Tuesday, not long after I actually had the tooth removed, and I didn't they didn't give me the full anesthesia, so they just numbed me up a little bit and it hurt like heck. And then you know, I they gave me ibuprofen instead of like the actual strong medicine, so I've pretty much been in pain these past few days. I don't know really what they were trying to do, but yeah. So no, to answer your question, I'm not all hopped up on anything.
All right, well, that's no fun.
I know.
So Chris, are you we were talking earlier and we weren't sure of the answer to this. I can't remember now. Are you going to be covering Purdue basketball as well, or there's someone else?
Oh no, I'll be doing it.
You will be. Okay. I didn't know.
I got a helper bunny with me as well now, but after 1-4 starts of the football season, I'm kind of looking ahead to basketball. I'm excited for
So can we throw a couple of quick basketball-related questions?
Yeah, fire away.
All right, because we put out there on Facebook and Twitter, you know, asking people to send in questions, and one of our and I guess there's been we posted a little bit about this, but a reader named Austin asked pretty straightforward one: where's Hale going? And then we have another one for you to follow up on that. But do you have any idea on where Hale will be going?
I believe he's off to Bellarmine in Louisville. Not sure if that's official or not, but I mean, I think that's it sounds like that's almost a done deal. It's a kind of good little school, not too far from his home. I believe. I mean, I know his move was made so he'd be closer to family, and that's obviously a better fit for him. So I'm not sure if that's a done deal or not, but best of luck to him.
Yeah. The other question related to basketball we got so far was from Gene, who said, "Will Bryson and RJ be splitting time, or will Bryson move to the two a bit?" Which I think it's a little early to answer that.
Yeah, a little too early, and you know, they've not had practices haven't been fully open where you're able to get a good idea of that. So it's too soon to tell at that point. But I mean, I could see Bryson playing quite a bit in different roles.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that being talked about quite a bit. Even last year, people were getting excited about the idea of having both of those guys and having them on the floor at the same time. But I mean, it's all speculation right now. I'm sure that if the offense flows well, I would imagine Coach Painter will do that, right? I mean, I would assume he'll assess based on what looks good.
Yeah, you know, so. You got options. I mean, I know Matt Painter's gonna do whatever he can to get all those guys and spread it out, and you know, really get a few new threats, because that's what they've been looking for.
Yeah.
Hey, just to confirm what you're just talking about, Chris. NBC Sports says the same thing, that Hale is going to Bellarmine, and they even have a quote from Hale that I hadn't read. I guess Jay and I kind of said he's dead to us. He's no longer in the family. But that's pretty cold-hearted. But I think both of us were pretty. We were like, well, we understand what why he's doing it. It makes a lot of sense. He'd be buried. Plus, we knew that there was a personal thing, and he confirms that here. He says, I wanted to be closer to my kid and get to see her more often. I felt Bellarmine would be a better fit for me. Good, that's fair. And I hope he does well. I hope he does really well, actually. And I hope I said it after it happened. I hope his he's in the position where he can take good care of his daughter. That's the most important thing. So.
Yeah, it seems like a perfect fit all around. I mean, he'll be able to get a better chance to play and be closer to home. So it worked out well.
Yep, that's good. Very good.
We also got a chance, and Boiler Dad answered this a little bit on Twitter, but what the take was on Blewett. Am I saying that right?
Blue, yeah, Blue yeah. It's
Blewett.
It's
quite
an athlete, isn't it? Blewett.
It's French, right? So do we have a thought on?
Yeah, I think you're going to see Purdue get heavily involved, because you think about it. Before he committed, he had a list of seven favorites, right?
Right.
Now, one of those is UCLA. He's not going back there. The other one was Arizona, which is ruled out. He doesn't want to be far away. That's his top reason, he told Scout.com today, as far as why he made the decision to decommit. So now you're down to five. Indiana's just got a shooting guard a few weeks ago that probably takes the role of they have for Blewett. I doubt they're too heavily involved. It's too early to tell, but I bet they back out on that. So now you're down to four. You're looking at Purdue, Michigan, Xavier, and Butler. I think Purdue's got a scholarship. They've been looking for a wing. You got a surplus here. They can do whatever they want with this year. I think you see Purdue get involved a lot more so than they were before. And not only this, but before when they were recruiting him, they only had a couple weeks of Brandon Brantley being that lead recruiter for him. He's a guy with indie connections, strong connection to Trayvon. I think going to see Brandon Brantley go to town and really get Purdue in the mix. So I think the Boilers are going to have a really good chance at really landing Trayvon here. I think Butler could be conceived as the favorite. Michigan's got a good shot as well. I don't know enough about what Xavier's situation is, but I know they're going to put a strong push from him as well. But I think you're going to really see Purdue getting a good shot here to land Trayvon.
You think Butler?
Go ahead, Jay. Okay.
Well, I just was going to say, you still think Butler is a favorite even without Stevens?
Yeah, you know, he didn't rule him out right away. And I think his lead recruiter was Miller, who's now the head coach there. Obviously, mm-hmm. the Stevens connection is huge, but it's still Butler. It's still a program with, you know, good prestige even without Stevens there. It's still Indianapolis. He obviously wants to be close to home. So I think it would be a decent fit for him. I think Butler, you know, they got a good shot. I'd probably say Purdue has a better shot, though.
Yeah, I've got a couple friends that that went to Butler, and they believe that Butler's recruiting is really going to take an initial hit because of the change in styles. They think that Miller will be fine, but it's such a difference, you know. And so the guys that they had, you know, leads on that Stevens was actually, you know, trying to close out on, this is not going to happen. So I think it's very interesting the way his recruitment has gone, Blewett's recruit has gone, and it seems to me that he almost was humoring Purdue, weeks ago, because Brandon Brantley was there, because he likes Brandon Brantley so much, and that's the thing that gives me hope, is that Brandon Brantley is going to be so involved in trying to nail it down.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what Brandon can do, but I got, you know, he's done a good job in just a short time as far as building relationships go. And I mean, honestly, you look at this hire now, it looks so great because it's a guy based out of Indy. Tons of connections already, strong with the AU scene. I don't know if you've met the guy. I've met him a few times. He's great to talk with, really friendly, personable guy, Purdue alum. And, you know, I've heard Matt Painter talk about it before. This guy works his butt off. He's worked so hard to get where he is. He worked so hard to get to the professional level, you know, playing overseas. I mean, heck, he worked really hard at Purdue just to get in his position there. So it's a perfect fit for what Purdue's looking for. When you made that hire, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, what, this guy really? I mean, you know, we were going for like an established assistant, but it's such a perfect fit when you think about all the factors. And I think you're going to really see it pay dividends here as they go after Blue. And I'm not saying they're going to get him, but I think you're going to really see Brantley do a great job in getting Purdue in the hunt.
Yeah, I got to tell you one other thing, Chris, and maybe you feel this way. I know you're on top of Purdue's basketball recruiting. You know, I don't know if you read much about what we think about recruiting, but it's not positive generally. You know, we don't.
Well, I read you guys, of course.
Okay, well, it's, you know, we struggle with some of the things that you are forced to cover with, just the egos and the up and down and the pendulum. I can't handle it. This makes me nuts. But I do feel there's some real positive momentum right now for Purdue basketball recruiting. There are a lot of people on some of the message boards and on Twitter who are pretty down on this class. I actually really like this class, and I think there are going to be a couple more guys that fall into place. They're going to be perfect fits for what Purdue needs, which is guys that can just shoot the ball. I think, you know, if they can get one more big out of this, I mean, they'll be in great shape.
Yeah, I think Vince Edwards changed everything as far as the momentum goes, the feeling for the program, because that was a guy they've been after for I don't know how many years. I mean, they were going after him for a while.
Yeah.
As Matt Painter's top guy, he had to go head-to-head with John Beilein once again, and you got him. You finally got him. It's a big-name recruit, somebody they wanted so badly. You got some good feelings going here with this program now. If they lost out on him to Michigan, it probably would have felt very, very bad right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you didn't have Jaquill Taylor in the class after that, but now you got three in the class. You got some great prospects. You got Dakota's a guy who can really do it all. You know, he'll be a perfect fit in that offense. Defense, he's a guy who plays well on defense, but, you know, he's a great passer. He's a hard worker. He's going to do a lot out there on the court. I've seen him play a bunch, and, you know, he's not going to wow you. He's not going to go draining three after three or throw down slams, but he's a guy who's just a perfect fit in an offense. It's kind of hard to describe all the things that he does, but he's a great fit. And obviously you add in what Vince can do offensively. I mean, he's a phenom. And then you got Jaquill. I think he's a very underrated fit there.
I like him a lot. I like him a lot.
So you got some great momentum going forward. Now you can focus on locking down maybe one more guy for this 2014 class, but you can really look at it in 2015 and get to work.
Right. So who's your call? Is there any chance that they're going to go into the JUCO ranks to get somebody there or to get a big man? Or do you think it's just going to all come from high school?
I don't think so. I think it's too late for the JUCO ranks. They tried it a couple guys, and they tried it a few different transfers as well, and things fell apart. So I don't see it for an immediate solution. I think they feel great with what they got. Obviously, AJ's around. They're feeling good about this team, and I think they got all the depth they need for this roster. So I think they're fine right now. The focus for this 2014 class is adding one or maybe two more guys.
So, aside from recruiting, talking about, I'm just gonna. Just a complete shot in the dark question. Is this A.J. Hammond's final season at Purdue?
I believe so.
Really?
I thought if you would have asked me going in last year, I would have said yes. But, obviously we saw all the question marks kind of went the wrong way. You saw a guy who wasn't hustling, wasn't giving it everything he's got. And let's face it, I mean, he's struggling. Could have been a lot better. But, the AJ that I've seen so far this year is a completely different guy. He's slimmed down. He's working hard. He's moving up and down the court. He's diving on the court. I mean, that's wow. What you want to see from this guy. I think, the NBA talent's obviously been there, but he's just not been the complete package, and that's changing now. So I think he's going to kind of carry this team. I think he has a monster year. I think he really puts it together, and I think he leads his team.
Well, that's good. I was just about to do we have people just clamoring to hear what we think about the basketball season. I mean, it's mostly women because they read our house or read our site for the pictures of Jay. But the big thing that we're hearing a lot is they're like, so what do you feel about it? And I got to tell you my big thing, and I'm showing tipping my hand, is that I think Tyrone Johnson, he's the way he goes is the way this team's going to go. And I think he's worked hard too in the offseason. He's another guy. He's really tried to redefine himself physically. And I tell you, if Hammonds is playing as aggressively as what you're talking about, I think that is nothing but positive.
Yeah, no, I think Tyrone, I'm with you there. I think he has a big year. I think he puts up solid numbers. And I think you really saw him, Tyrone, that you wanted you wanted to see toward the end of the year when he was scoring and he was taking over for that team.
And he was pissed when they weren't playing well, which I really like to see, honestly. What'd you say?
I mean, he was pissed off in those press conferences. He was ticked on the court. I mean, you saw everything you wanted to see, and I think Matt Painter kind of fell in love with that.
Yeah. Oh, I do too, and because we've seen before Johnson has gone into a bit of malaise at times, just kind of gone through the motions, and I was really happy to see him ratchet it up. So that's a good thing. It's a good sign for this year. And how about this question? We'll give you one more hard basketball question here. What's this team's record going to be at the end of the year?
Oh, geez.
How many wins? How about that? How many wins? And which will they? Where will they be playing postseason, if any?
I do think it's an NCAA tournament team. I haven't given a full win-loss record. Said it could be, anywhere from like a 10 to a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament. But I really do believe in this team. I think this is a team that's going to rebound and play, a lot better than we saw last year. I think it's going to be a team that has a great year. I think you're going to see guys like Ronnie Johnson emerge as, top-tier Big Ten players. Same with Tyrone. I think AJ, as I've said, is going to have a big year. This is going to be his breakout year before he goes to the NBA. I think you're going to really see a lot out of these guys, and you'll see some of these freshmen really play well as well. So, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Maybe I'm too high on these guys, but I'm feeling it. They're going to have a big year.
So when you talk about a good year and you talk about a 7-10 seed, does that mean that? And I realize it sounds like you're keeping the cards a little close to your vest. You don't want to reveal your big reveal of your record prediction will probably be closer to the start of the games. But does that mean that you're thinking there may be a 500 Big Ten team, like a 9-9 kind of season, or 10-8? Is that what that would probably equate to, a 7-10 seed?
Yeah, I got to plan out a big reveal. I still haven't even thought about a record, honestly. I think 500 because. The Big Ten, the Big Ten's been so deep for the past years, and it's going to be good again, but it won't be nearly as, it won't be one of those things where you're going to get battles against like that 10 or 11 team in the Big Ten. You're going to see a Big Ten where it's going to be there's going to be some bad teams at the bottom and some good teams at the top, but I think Purdue's going to be right there in the middle. I think they could be 500 over 500. Yeah, that's a non-conference schedule where there's a lot of potential to win a lot of games, and you're in good shape, so I think you're going to see it should be a 21 team, right?
That's I completely agree. One of the things that is promising to me about this team is the stories I'm hearing about the energy out of practice. And you just said Hammond's diving for balls. So can I ask you a question about, has there been one moment in one of these practices that you've watched where you've been like, holy crap, that was amazing, like good, hard fouls, guys, just really busting their asses. What's one of those things that's noteworthy? Do you have anything like that?
You know, there was that first practice on Saturday. I wish I could remember the names of who it was, but Matt Painter had a drill where there was diving on the floor. It was like kind of a wrestling thing where you put the ball in the middle of the floor and you get, I think it was either two or three guys fighting for it. And it's one of those things where Painter didn't blow the whistle until long after it should have been blown. It's one of those things where you're kind of worried, oh God, somebody's going to throw a punch, somebody's going to get in a fight, where you're going back and forth. And the whole team surrounding these guys, God, I wish who it was. I wish I knew who it was. But it was two guys tug of warning for that ball, down to the floor, going hard after it. And finally, Painter blew the whistle. That's what you want to see, is establishing that physical, no-nonsense attitude. And I think you're starting to see the baby steps toward that. These guys are going after it hard in practice. I mean, I wish the football team would have played with that same attitude on Saturday the way the basketball team did a bit earlier. So,
right. There's a lot of rumors going around that they're trying to, reinstill some of the toughness of, not only the Painter teams, but the Katy teams back in the day. So is there any truth to the rumor that they're wearing really short shorts with Play Hard on the rear end for circa 1986-87. I will be at practice all day long. Wait.
I cannot confirm some of the I think I might go with my short shorts for the next practice.
Nice.
They are not.
Oh, darn it. All right.
Sorry to be a buzzkill.
That hurts. So, Jay, do you have anything else for our pal Chris?
No, I appreciate you playing hurt and getting on here with the one less one. Was it just one wisdom tooth or multiple?
Just one. I'm a few days in, so it's not an excuse anymore.
One wisdom tooth, whatever. I had all. How many do you have? Four. I had think all. I got. I can't remember if I had four or two out, but I had multiple.
I can beat you guys on this. I know I can. I had four impacted, and I had four bicuspids pulled at the same time. Eight teeth at one time.
Oh,
how's that? That's not a joke.
And that was like 30, 40 years ago.
Right, back when they did use anesthesia.
Yeah, you just had to bite on a wooden spoon, which didn't make sense because you were having
Right, it really is.
I'll have to
what sucks for
joke.
Me is I got to get the other three taken out. I had the appointment for one. They're like, we'll just get rid of this one. We should probably get these other ones taken out as well. So now
No, I had the same thing. And I said, no, just do it.
Exactly.
Just do it.
Get her done.
I'm not going to come back in here and do this again.
It's horrible.
Should have now. I'm kind of regretting it, but whatever. Yeah.
Well, that stinks. Well, when you woke up out of your haze, was the assistant buttoning her blouse and the dentist buttoning his pants like an episode of Seinfeld?
You know what's up, though? I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that episode as well. There was sadly, I was. There was no haze. Because they didn't give me the general anesthesia. They just gave me the local where it just numbs you up. So I was awake. I was
man!
This thing, and no, there was no assistance to make things feel better. So I was just kind of in pain all around.
Wow, that's hardcore. Jay, did you have the full anesthesia, or did you just have a local as well?
Well, I don't know what you know how sometimes there's a. I don't remember it. I remember it being as though I was put out.
Yeah, me too.
But I also know that there are anesthesias that you feel that way, but they say to you, no, you were talking to us the whole time. You weren't really out.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like you come back and it's like you were just so high, you don't even know what the hell happened. So I believe I was put under though, because I remember waking up in a recovery.
This was not Dr. Tim Watley's office. I was sad to say it was not that.
Tim Watley. Well, I'm glad you're well. There are a lot of people pulling for you when you were out, and gosh.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, this, and once again, I should. I'm never good at reminding people of this stuff during our interviews, but Chris Emma, you can read him at Boiler Sports Report, which the easiest way to get there, right, Chris, is purdue.scout.com. It's or you can find him on at C Emma Fox. It's referring to his attractiveness, or maybe I don't know.
Of course.
I can't.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I can't. Might have something to do with his.
Well, now that I'm on the handsome hour, of course it means that.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Right.
Hell yeah. All right, man. Well, we really appreciate you joining us, and we've got to do it again. Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Talk to you today, and we will connect sometime this season. All right.
Sounds good.
All right, man. We'll see you. Bye.
Thanks. Good at this
time. Yeah. When he started. It sounded like he was in my kitchen. And then there was a period where there were people walking through and stuff happening in the background. I thought it was, hey, oh, you think it's Sam? Oh. Like he was in.
He lives with 12. He lives with 12 or 13 roommates because he's a young man doing journalist
yep.
work. So he makes about $12, I think.
He's good at his job. And all those out there listening, if you don't follow him on Twitter, you should do it. And if you are not on the Scout website, BSR Boiled Sports Report, Boiler Sports Report. Gosh, Don. I'd say it's worth the money. I mean, I think it's a pretty darn good service. I think it's a little cheaper than than going the Golden Black route. And if nothing else, they got a young staff over there that's really hungry to do good
well,
things.
Well, and
over
some
there.
Of it,
he works hard.
Not everything's premium over there, is
no,
it?
No, not everything's premium. It's a similar
no.
model as the I can't even think. Who's boiled? Golden Black is on which? They are on. Which network? Shoot.
Oh, I don't even know.
Rivals. Rivals. There we go.
Rivals. That's right. Yeah. No. I echo what you say as far as you should be following him because he's also one of those guys who's fun, he's a fun follow because he's not one of these beaten down, angry,
yeah.
bitchy media yeah. types, which sadly so many of them are because they don't know how to handle social media. Because Chris is a young guy, so he's been dealing with this from the beginning, yeah. and he doesn't. I don't know. He doesn't. He's not the kind of guy who. I don't think anybody has something against him. They don't like, sometimes people just have a crusade against, Dan Dockich or whoever it is, and just everything he says they attack.
Yeah.
And Chris, I don't think has that. I think people, I think you should give him a follow, and I think it'll definitely enhance your Purdue viewing
yeah.
and listening and watching and all that. You'll just feel more knowledgeable because I know most people who listen to us are always looking for, more. They're listening to us or reading us because they want more.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think people are, like you've said it, people are just starved. They just want, more. It doesn't matter if they're,
yep.
Going to Travis's site, going to our site, going to, wherever. People want as much as they can get. Different perspective. So Emma's a good one though. So.
There was a pretty hilarious actually. I don't even want to give him credit because he's usually so negative on Twitter. But our friend Matt. When I asked for questions for the podcast, he asked, why was a DB allowed to start as many games at QB as he did?
That was pretty funny. I saw that. And it's the same thing, begrudgingly, Matt.
Yeah,
that was funny.
That one was good.
Was
you don't
funny.
Get many that are good. Usually they're
yeah,
just angry.
You hit that one hard. I'm not going to say it was a home run, but it was a shot to the wall,
You hit that one hard.
Yeah, it's good.
So do you think – I got a couple quick questions for you before we start to wind this down. Do you it's funny, interesting. Before I ask my questions, Chris, he made a couple comments that I know you and I both kind of perked our ears up. Talking about how he could tell Hazel was infuriated, which is, like you said, is
yes.
good, and it's also interesting because he doesn't change his demeanor, But
right.
the guys who are around every day know, ooh, he looks a little
right.
irritated, and that's great. Like you said, that's great.
Well, I told you months ago that what Appleby said to me said. When he walks in the room, everybody kind of comes snaps to attention. It's not because he makes them do that; it's just because he demands respect. Well, you don't command and demand respect if you don't have a bit of a business idea that is scary. I'm serious, and we don't see that, which is good because he's brilliant with PR, honestly. But I'm glad that he's got that other gear. It's great to hear. It's great to hear.
Yeah, and. Another thing Chris said that I kind of scribbled down just because it was interesting to me. It just kind of – not that it's groundbreaking, but he said something about, about Purdue not winning a game for a while because of the tough opponents. He said, well, you got that defense that's just terrible. I mean, it's interesting that the quote where that I put in quotes was terrible, terrible. That defense was expected not to be as strong, but there had to be some, line, the secondary. There was some expectation that aside from the linebackers, there might be some good that came
right,
out of that defense.
Right.
And they've played terrible.
What,
really
I mean, I want to hear something that's crazy though. As badly as they've played, okay? Because I'm big about. I go on the Big Ten's official website and look at stats because I love it's the same thing as hitting yourself in the balls if you're into that sort of thing.
Right, right. You love Jim Delaney.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I do. But they've got a great stat page. It's kind of hard to find. I think it's hard to find. But they got a great stat page and something that just shocked me. It was that. In total defense, is it total? No, it's not. Let me find that again because I scroll. Okay, yeah, it is in total defense. Total defense, Purdue is not in last in the conference. They're in eighth, and I know that's a weird thing to be happy
eighth?
About. Yes, I think that was
– Wow.
I'm shocked. I really am shocked by that. I mean, they're in last in so many categories right now, but I was really shocked. I was like, wow, there are teams below them. It's
Are they ahead of IU's? IU?
Yeah, they are well ahead of IU. So
everybody's ahead of IU, man. I imagine. IU's defensive rank just says INF, yeah. Infinity. It's just
it's bad.
It just can't be calculated. Right. It's like NA.
Yeah, they're really, really bad.
As dark as things get, I can still make fun of
them. I think we can all do that, and I know that we're going to have somebody say, well, we can't do that because Purdue's bad this year. Shut up. Yes, we can. This is like the same thing of – I had a discussion with somebody the other day about what's a bigger embarrassment in the athletic department. It was, you know, the shoplifting or something else. I can't remember what it was. And I said, you know, these two don't have to be either ors. These are both embarrassing things. And it's the same thing right now.
Right.
IU's defense is really, really bad. And if you've watched them on any of their – what they play every game at home and every game at night, right? So
I don't know how they did it,
but I've said before, Fred Glass is good at his job, and he's a damn genius. But they're probably going to play, 10 away games next year or something. I don't know what they've got.
That's the deal they made, exactly. Yeah. They're all at MAC teams in the beginning of the season. They got to play on the road.
They have to pay the Piper sometime. I don't know when it's going to happen, though. So, but that's a really bad defense. They look, I told you, I've said this quote a bunch of times, bad teams stay perpetually young. Well, IU's defense stays perpetually young. They always look young. They always look undersized. They always look slow. They always look, you know, like guys looking around. What just happened, you know? It happened. You know,
well,
at Purdue, we've seen plenty of that this year, but man, they've seen it at IU over and over and over.
Well, and it's funny because they look like that when IU is whatever IU's been in the past, and now IU is actively, almost openly saying, "Well, screw defense."
I saw something this week. I saw Kevin Wilson in IU's bye week. He was talking about some of the things that they were working on, and he said we're not too far off. And I was like, oh man, I love hearing that. I love hearing you say that. You're very far off, sir. And I hope you keep thinking that, because they're.
You know what's awesome is that, like, they can talk all they want, and people can tell us we can't say anything. They can say that all they want, except that, you know how many wins IU has?
Two
wins. And you know how many are against D1A teams? One.
Yep.
One. Again, you know who it was? Bowling Green. So, hey, I mean, yeah, I guess you could make the – yeah, they're better than Purdue right now, slightly, I think right now. But I think that if they had the fourth toughest schedule in the nation, they'd have one win as well.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have beaten any of the teams Purdue's got smoked by, no. I don't think.
I don't think so. I don't think so either.
So.
But, this is one other thing that's really interesting. You know the worst – defense in the league at total off or total defenses.
Iowa?
Nebraska.
Oh yeah, I should have known that.
Iowa is the exact opposite. They're second in the league. And that's why that's something that you and I have talked about a couple times, and we're off the air, we've talked about how we thought Iowa was a win earlier in the season. Now all of a sudden Iowa looks very good. Kirk Ferentz is doing what he does, where he shocks people, and they're, like you said, they're probably gonna have eight wins. They're gonna have eight wins.
Purdue, what I said to you offline, and we'll tell our listeners is I was writing something about teams. I forget even what I was writing at that point, but I was gonna say something like beating a bad Iowa team, and then I looked at the stat and I said that you can't say that. They're 4-1.
Right.
You can't call them a bad team. There, no team is 4-1 as you can, deserves to be called a bad team, And they're playing in the Big Ten, and they just beat down Minnesota pretty hard. So what they're exhibiting is those Tiller teams that, like you said, Ferentz, they're going to beat the teams they should beat, and maybe a couple that are, you know, 50-50, and they're going to wind up with 7-8 wins and go to a bowl and maybe get 9 wins, and you're going to say, wow, look at that. And
5 NFL offers will be on the table for Ferentz again. No, I'm staying.
You know – you were talking about rankings, and I do want to make fun of Nebraska when we have a chance, but Purdue, this is astounding. I just brought up Purdue's ESPN page, and I knew they were bad, but Purdue's overall points for, they're 114.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's really disconcerting.
Rushing yards, 115.
Yeah. That's, if you go deeper into those type of rankings, Purdue's in the one teens in a lot of categories, and that's a really – that's kind of the thing that, you know, kicked off Chris's conversation, is how bad this team is and how there isn't much chance of getting better, because especially the next few weeks you play very good teams. So mercy. Right. You know, it's – this is another conversation we've had away from the show and we've had with other people that, you know, you start Henry because they didn't think Etlin or Appleby were ready to play. And, you know, I guess they wanted the seniors to think that, you know, this season mattered and they could get in a bowl this year, but
no, come on. You thought this season mattered and you thought 6 wins was not out of the realm of possibility.
Right, right.
So if the coaching staff also felt that way, then that's why you start the senior. If you think, okay, we can eke out six, if everything goes well, we could eke out a bowl game out of this team, and the seniors deserve that. And I think you and I hit on this on maybe the first or second podcast. We said, if it doesn't work, those bye weeks coming in October are the perfect time to change it. If they're 1-4, I think is what we said, then you got to change things. And I think we should not be – I think we should be at least momentarily patient and say, look, they're doing what we sort of said we would think they should do. They're changing things up. But does that mean also that Shoup will simplify his supposedly quote unquote complex
offense? Well, he has said that he's going to do that, but they didn't say they're going to like throw out half the book. So that's a good thing.
Well, gosh, I hope they don't simplify this offense too much. It's been so great. I mean, I surely wouldn't want them to be 125th in the nation in offense.
Right, right.
I mean, well, Nebraska.
You heard this stat. This is an interesting thing. This is a really interesting thing about the team. I kind of tripped upon this when I started looking at the depth chart, like really looking at it. I mean, I think everybody's kind of, flipped through it and looked over there. And at first blush, you say, wow, look at all, there's a lot of juniors and seniors on Purdue's starting offense and defense. And you get quickly, if you just kind of stop there, you can be quickly deceived and say, this team shouldn't be this bad. You've got, on the offensive line, I think you've got 3 seniors that start. So that's a pretty good place to start. But the drop-off on the depth chart is just incredible, where you go from senior to redshirt freshman on the offensive line, I think 2 or 3 times. And you go senior to sophomore another time. And this is what is very prevalent. And then I read someone, and maybe you read this too, I don't know if it was on Twitter or where it was, someone said that Purdue's roster is 47% freshmen. And I'm looking at the roster right now and there are tons of RSFRs on there and freshmen, I've got to do the math because I haven't found a site that cleanly allows me to click on year, and see all the guys that are freshmen up top. But if that's the case, I mean, dag nab, that's punishing. That is tough. And I would say that you've got some really, really lousy management that preceded this regime. And that's the thing. And that's one thing that we all knew it was happening. But if that personnel planning happened that way, that's really, really poor. Really, really poor on Hope's part. And I know, we continue to kick the guy in the ribs. And I know a lot of people are angry about that. But his legacy keeps getting worse to me. Does that make sense?
His legacy keeps getting worse as it becomes more and more exposed. Well, what's funny is let's say in 3 years Purdue's actually good, which I don't think is a crazy thing to say.
No.
Let's say Edling's a senior and things are good and Hazel has turned this team into his team. You'll still have Danny Hope's fingerprints on the quarterback position.
Oh yeah.
Which, he'll show up at those bowl games like he did last year and be like, "You're welcome, everybody."
Oh, by the way, I've just gone through the first 19 players on the roster, and I've got 14 freshmen, and that's in alphabet, that's in numerical order, so it's pretty random. That's pretty telling, I would say, right there, isn't it?
That's not
good. It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's so not really, but if it's a season, see, here's the way I look at that, though. If it's a season that's effectively lost anyway, which it is, why the hell not? I mean, because I know you've made the point that you don't want to be perpetually young. However, what if that playing time translates into pretty seasoned guys in a sophomore year? That's a good thing. It means by the time they're juniors, they're playing like they become the kind of guys that we all joke about. Like, man, that guy's been in college forever.
Yeah. There's some bad news, by the way, out of practice today. One of the maybe future stars. I think a lot of people thought he had real. There was a good chance he could become something. Matt Burke is a tight end from Florida. He's a big guy, 6'6". I think he played in the Army All-American game, I believe. Mm-hmm. But they thought he it looked like he blew out his knee today in practice, and he was on the way to redshirting anyway. I saw him on the sideline this last game. He was kind of standing off with another freshman. You know, you can see freshmen physically on the sideline, you know, of a you know, major college football team, because they just they're not filled out. You know what I mean? They can be a little different sometimes, and he looked like a high school kid on a college sideline. I know he's a skilled player. He's a pretty good player, but that's not good. Not a good way to spend your redshirt year. So I hope he recovers fully, which it seems like guys recover ridiculously fast from ACLs right now. But Purdue hadn't had one in a while, so I guess got to do it for good measure. But
I guess they were due. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, the last day I've been reviewing, you know, the shuffling of positions with the Henry and the Robinson situations, and you go through that timeline and people start talking about what else was happening around that, and you look at other players that switched out a quarterback, how many of those guys blew out their knees? I mean, we all know it, but gosh, it's just painful. It's just painful. I don't know. Here's another thing. I don't know if you saw it, and I'm not going to get into this real deep, especially while we're being recorded, Rob Henry's girlfriend is an athlete at Purdue. I think she plays volleyball or something. I don't know. It's not volleyball. But she's an athlete at Purdue. I think she's a scholarship athlete, which athletes usually stick together because they understand each other's schedule and whatever. Pretty girl, too. She really laid into Coach Hazel via Twitter last night.
Really?
Yeah. And she said pretty much, you know, he must not know what he's doing because you don't put a guy with 4.3 speed in the defensive backfield. So, of course, right away when I read this, I went and I researched NFL safeties with 4.3 speed. And I posted that real quickly because I didn't put directed at her. But I know both of them have responded to us in on Twitter before. And I was like, maybe they'll see it. And I really didn't want to be provocative because she was already being provocative. I just wanted to put out there something positive and say, hey, maybe there's a chance. And I found three safeties that are starting in the NFL that run 4.31 to 4.35. And the big thing about Rob is I think it's a hard situation he's in. I think it's really hard. He's taken it well. But he got a little bit unglued this afternoon to I don't know if it's a Purdue student or an alum. They were kind of going back and forth on Twitter, and I was like, man, I didn't expect that. And I hope he's able to bite his tongue or stay off Twitter like he promised to do. I guess now since he's not quarterback, he doesn't think he needs to stay off Twitter. But he was on there really going after somebody and telling him to shut his mouth, and his opinion didn't matter. And I'm sure he's sick of hearing people talk, but he's got to rise above. I mean, this reminds me a little bit of, you know, coaching little kids. You know, somebody's got to be an adult, you know, and he's got to be that because he's the guy that's in the public. The other people that are going to call him out and be classless and say things that are personal, that's you know, he's got to stay off Twitter because the internet courage is a big deal. You know, people would say things they'd never say, you know, in real life about him. You know, and I think that you know, he's handled it well for the most part, and it's a very hard situation.
Yeah, you know, talking about him, one of the few other things I wanted to touch on was, I'm just curious, like, what you think of? I know you think it's a challenge for him and Robinson based on what you wrote, you know, for them to do what they did. But I just think about, you know, there's a hell of a divide between Purdue and some of the other programs within their own conference.
Right.
When you've got guys, quarterbacks or guys who played other positions right up until college or even into college, who you're now putting into the defensive backfield or other places, it's not, you know, Pee Wee League. It's not, you know, so to move guys around to new positions, that's asking a hell of a
Did
lot.
Did you read against, what Albert Evans said to him?
I saw what he said about moving
him.
Yeah,
he was in disbelief of it, and I think a lot of guys are. But I think there's one thing that maybe Evans doesn't see. I think Evans, number one, he's going to side and say, well, safety's a very hard position to play. He played it, you know. He's like, you know, to pick it up in a, you know, a couple weeks is nearly impossible. I think that. That's a true point. I think that's a fair point. But the other side is I really believe the coaches want Henry on the field someplace. And this is something they're like, hey, you're a captain. We respect you. We think you're a hard worker. You're a hell of an athlete. You're important to the team. We really want you on the field. And putting him at wide receiver, there's a logjam at wide receiver. Putting a running back, it's even a worse logjam, really, because you look, they've got guys like Mostert that are completely buried. You know, Mostert's a—I mean, maybe he has problems, you know, remembering plays or whatever. But you've got what, 6-7 deep. That's a tough. And then yeah, behind them, you've got a couple really, really talented freshmen that you'd probably like to give them looks before anybody else. So why not put them at safety where there is no one back there right now? They really need help back there, and you know the guy can move. You know the guy's strong. You know, maybe he can't tackle, but neither can some of the other defensive backs on the roster right now. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm serious. There's some guys that just look like they don't know how to tackle. And we talked about this in that Wisconsin game. There were two plays where DBs came up to make tackles and they grabbed air. I mean, that is really tough to watch in college football. To have a guy not even get a hand on a running back.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I hope Henry does the miraculous and he actually becomes a contributor. I hope it's not because the rest of Purdue's DBs are that bad. I hope it's that he's natural and he's that good, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's – I'm glad he's getting it. Like you said, I'm glad he's getting a chance to contribute somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you know, and they are thin there, yep. So that's one thing. But I just – all I'm saying is, like, it doesn't feel like – it's a tremendous thing to ask someone to do.
Oh, it is. It is.
To be so, so very out of position. I mean, it's not like you're asking a safety to play corner. Yeah. You know, you're talking about – I mean, I don't even know, you know, his history in high school. But, like, I just – man, that's a hell of a thing to ask at the Big Ten level. I mean, and it's not the first time, as we've talked about. But, you know, hey, I guess when you recruit 50 quarterbacks, you got to spread them around and put them
– Well, he was I'm not sure how much he played safety in high school. I know he played a lot of wide receiver in high school. When he was an underclassman, I guess the stories are that he was just ridiculously athletic as a sophomore. He started playing varsity wide receiver, and he played receiver again as a junior, and because there was a guy in front of him that was very good. And he was so fast they couldn't keep him off the field. And then he went to the Nike Spark camps or whatever, where they put these, you know, these drills out. He was off the charts. And that's kind of when he started getting recognition. Mm-hmm. And I think Purdue offered him like that next week. And Purdue was one of the few teams that just said, okay, yeah, we're in. Other teams started expressing interest and sending letters. I think Florida State was one of them because he's from Ocala. You say Ocala or Ocala? It doesn't matter. but I could get tripped up on crap like that. But he's a
Ocala. I think it's Ocala.
Is it really? I was completely wrong.
No. I just gave you a third one. That's all. No, I think it's Ocala.
Okay.
But yeah. Or Ocalay. Yeah. We should ask Travis. He's an expert on football.
Yeah, he
loves everything.
He does. Only high school football, though.
Well, only high school boys.
Yeah.
What?
Well, it's do you want to answer? It's been a fun show. It's been a longer show, but I mean, on the editing floor, you could take out, you know, make it like.
Oh, we dicked around enough, but we got a probably a facetious tweet when we, you know, one of the ones we'd got recently, actually. Not that anyone knows the timeline since this isn't live, but somebody asked us, at this point, does anyone even care what happens at Ross Aid for the next 2 years? And I'll say, hell yes, I do, and I think a lot of people do, because I really think, and I said this to you, I don't think there's ever been a 31-point blowout loss that was that awful that actually produced some measure of hope and excitement.
Right, right.
You know, I think it's a weird dichotomy, but the fans were excited when he came on the field. And I don't think any rational fan thought, oh, well, they're going to lead him to victory now. He's going to lead him to victory. I think they just said, hell yes.
Right.
Let's see what he can do. There's absolutely nothing to lose, which is funny because it's what you and I have been saying for
right.
weeks and what geniuses yeah. we are. So, I mean, I think everybody felt the same way. That could not have been clearer,
yeah.
right? When he came on the field, people were like, hell yeah. Nobody was like, oh, no, I'll give Rob another chance. And so when this guy says, does anyone care what happens for the next 2 years, I'm excited what happens this year. And, okay, that's just because I'm a glutton. But next year, when he's got a year under his belt at length
yeah,
and this
yeah.
offense, and it's more of Hazel's team, absolutely I'm excited. And if you're talking 2 years out, then when Etling's a junior – And some of these other guys are juniors, and Hazel's recruited more of his guys. Hell,
yeah.
yes. I think you should care what happens over the next 2 years at Ross-Ade, because in 3 years, when they're actually getting attention, and there's articles written before the season about Danny Etling and Karen Darrell Hazel and things like that. I don't want to see any of the people who, you know, bailed out for the next
season. I agree, and I think there's these seasons are when fans kind of earn the right to be there when things are good. I know we've had quite a few of those right recently, you know, where you're just like, all right, well, we stick around because we love the school and we love the team and we hope for, you know, them to represent the university well. But there's no reason to bail on a bunch of young guys who are, you know, trying to get better. There really isn't. And you can see there are some guys that are, I think they're trying to do everything they physically can right now. I mean, one of the guys that's been bad-mouthed, I saw it on Twitter, Brown, who's the safety who shouldn't be starting this year, but due to injuries, he's starting now. And he's done a tremendous job, I think, because I watched how bad he was in the first couple games and as a backup to Fichter. And he's starting now, and he looks a lot more solid. He looks a lot better, especially in the in pass defense. He doesn't look completely lost. He makes mistakes, but that's a guy right there. He's a great example to me of one of the guys that's just working his ass off and doing everything he can, you know. And he will get better. These guys that are freshmen and sophomores that are being asked to do so much and that haven't done anything before this year, specifically if you're a sophomore and didn't play and now all of a sudden you're, you know, a starter, that's a huge jump, you know. Huge jump.
Right.
And this is where, you know, people say, you know, Purdue's a developmental football program versus other schools that just kind of plug in these superstars. They come in, they're, you know, five stars, and they're physically massive when they come in. You know, whether it's a safety or it's an offensive lineman, they look ready to play right out of the box. Well, Purdue really doesn't have that, you know, that luxury. You know, generally Purdue has a bunch of guys that, you know, they come in and they need to develop over a year mentally and physically, or two, and maybe three. You know, maybe it takes them a while to get there. But, you know, generally there's only, what, two a class that are ready to play right out of the box, right? Even the guys, some of the guys that are playing, you're like, ah, you know, you can tell he's not in the role yet. You know, I think that's
right.
There's a kid from, I'm trying to think of his name, Jimmy Herman. He's a linebacker. He's a redshirt freshman from Carmel. He actually, his mom has bought a Get Hammered t-shirt, by the way, which is pretty cool. So I'm a big fan of this.
Which everyone should do.
Exactly. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But the but he's a guy that's gone out there and he's made some really good plays. You know, he hasn't played a ton of plays, but when he gets out there, he's smart. He's in the right position. He does what he can. But physically, you can tell, man, he is not ready. He is not, you know, he does not look like a Big Ten or Big Ten linebacker. He reminds me a little bit of when Joe Holland went from safety to linebacker quickly. But remember, Joe had to start almost right away, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And he didn't look at all. And Jason Werner was another guy that, you know, and so these examples, I mean, I think it's kind of key that I'm giving these examples to show what Purdue is. You know, it's a developmental program, got to grow into the role. And it, by the way, the fact checking, you know, our fact checking team here at the show told me that number 47 is not 47%. It's 47 players are either freshmen or redshirt freshmen on Purdue's roster. That is hot.
That's higher than 47%.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I don't know how many are on the official roster, but I think it's probably what, around 90, 92.
Oh, I was going to guess 80. Was it 80 scholarship? 80 or, and like another, yeah, then maybe another 10 that are not scholarship.
Sure.
One thing I wanted to, this is totally kind of off topic, but of what we were talking about, but you know, I'm a little, you know, we talk about Nebraska coming in and they're they're rushing for 280 yards per game.
Right. For good?
That's a little. That's.
Is that legal? How about that? That's another question I could ask.
Are you allowed to keep doing it?
Yeah, if you succeed, don't the rest say, that's enough?
That's enough, right? Yeah. So, oh, I got to tell you this story. And again, this may make the cut. Why not? So I'm texting. So a friend of mine, an old coworker, female friend of mine, she and her husband are moving. Mm-hmm. So she's selling – they're selling tons of stuff. They're moving into the South, so they're selling a bunch of stuff that they don't need here. One of the things they're selling is a snowblower. Yeah. And I actually need one. So we're texting about it, and she's like, you know what? Can I just cut my husband in on this text because I don't know the details? And I said, yeah, of course. You know, I said, make, you know, as long as the saucy texts include
exactly
him, that's perfect. So we get the three-way text going. And they start exchanging texts as though they don't realize I'm there.
Right.
And I go – and I decide I can't let that go. So I said, hey, guys, don't forget I'm copying here. Don't let it get saucy. So then a day or so goes by, and then – her husband, who I don't know, I've never met, don't even know, he says, "Hey, Justin, did you get the, did we answer everything? Because they sent me some pictures of the snowblower." And I just had two questions. So I wrote back. I said, "Actually, yeah, the pictures are great." I said, "I just had two questions on the blower." And I said, "How old is it and how wide is it?" And he writes back and he goes, "Well," he says, "we've been married 6 years. He's 39, looks 29. And he says, "and not wide at all."
Oh, my God.
So I've never met him. So, and this is the reply all, too. So she's on it. So I reply all and I just say, "I like it." And then he writes back and he says, "I'll need a place to stay." And she's like, "Yes, Justin, he and his blower will be coming to your house." And I was like, that was so fantastic.
You're like, "You don't get the joke. You're the blower."
Yeah. Exactly. But the and the finish awesome. Of it, and he writes, "I'm not wide at all." I was like, "Yeah, good answer." Man, I said, "I guess it's better that you said that." Except instead of, "Well, it worked fine until I got
married." Exactly. Oh boy.
I just never blew again. I don't know, I don't know how cold it is. So anyway, one of the things we said we had to mention was our sponsor, our generous sponsor, is World Sports Get Hammered T-shirts. They say come to our house and get hammered, and that is not like one of those things that no longer applies because they're not good. You still should come to our house and
get
hammered.
Right. And by the way, those shirts do work for basketball season, I'm told. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, that is right. Yes. You can wear those at Mackey Arena.
That is correct. The guy behind the glass is nodding and saying that's fine.
I got a thumbs up there. So.
That's right, from Bill in the control room. So actually, we should just pick one of the ladies that we follow on Twitter or follow us and use their name as pretend they're in the control room because mercy. Mm-hmm.
Some of the followers. Man.
Man, there are some gorgeous women and I will leave that in because man,
absolutely, absolutely that in. I hope they listen, and I think it's really a travesty that Purdue girls, Purdue women, Purdue alums, Purdue students, female students don't get the props they deserve because dag nabbit. I mean, I'm amazed. About once a week, I'll see something one of them say. I'm like, what? They're following.
And
us.
You know what's even. And they're hot and they know sports and they are good Purdue fans and you're like, man, that is really jump, get step up to the plate, boys. Right. Like there are some terrific options out there. And I saw you even said to our friend Lou, which
did you see the way I handled that? Because I was like, this could get really weird really quick.
You go well. You just were like. I just knew you were like, you just kind of like where your head spun around. You said, "Did you?"
I had to ask because that picture is awesome. That's a great, phenomenal. Great profile phenomenal. Picture.
Phenomenal. Well, she's the last couple of great. The last couple have been great, and she's so down to earth. So now we're gushing over her like she's our daughter because she probably could be. But
she's like what, fresh out of school, right? She's
I think
like 22, 23.
Just a nice girl. Nice girl. Just a really nice. But nothing she ever puts up is ever salacious or inappropriate. She's just. She's respectable, and I think that's what we like about her. She's very likable. She does Purdue right. Does
and she's self-deprecating on top of that because that was one thing.
She's got that humor.
Very
exactly.
funny. But that was I had to say something because I was like, wow, that's a really good picture. And then she said, "Is that not okay?" No, it's quite okay.
No, it's quite okay.
And that's all I could say because I was like, I don't want to come across any more of a dirty old man than I am. So
right.
I just thought I'd top it there. So.
So anyway, the point is you should buy a Get Hammered T-shirt because hot women will flock to you. I think that's fair to say. I think anyone who has one will know that. We'll agree with that. So you can get them at Boiled Sports. You just have to send us an email with the size you want. We'll send you an invoice. We'll mark them all the way down to $18.
And, price to move. I mean, that's incredible. Hey, I'll take two with that price.
Including shipping. You get two cases of Mighty Putty, all the steak knives we've talked about.
And the what's the spray sealant that you make a boat out of a screen door? What is it called? That's it.
I love that that's the way you – that's exactly what I – you make a boat out of a screen door.
I have no idea what the product's
the
called.
The best part is, so if it's a breezy day, you've got a screen
yeah,
door.
Yeah, you've got everything. All your bases are covered.
No bugs will come in through the bottom of the boat. It's a screen. It's like keeps all the flies out.
So you can get all that for $18. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. I don't know if there's a better deal in these United States. So.
That's right. That's right. That's right. All right. So, well, that was fun. And we thank Chris Emma again for joining us. Again, you should watch him. You should read him. He covers Purdue like a blanket. All right. Well, that I think brings us to the end of another wildly successful Handsome Hour for Boiler Down. I'm Jay, and we're signing off by saying this has been the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour.
BS all the time.